building or build to last. One of two, fine. And I'm sharing from precept and from example. I began to follow the Lord as a teen, and then in my 20s, in my 30s, and now in my 40s. There's a lot many of you need to learn. That wound through different faces of life. And I'm still going to see more. No doubt. One has had the reason to see many things that many of you are also looking at. Because Paul was saying to Timothy, look at what I teach you. Look at my manner of life. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says that to him. Check that from verse 10 to 14. He gave that emphasis to Timothy. So you have a responsibility to listen and pay very good attention. The life of a minister, I've told you, is in the instructions that he listens to. And so you must. Praise the Lord. How many of you were at the Believers Convention? Was it Believers Convention? When I taught thoughts on the Christian experience. Who was there? That was 2004. Is it 4? 2004. Thoughts on the Christian experience. And I said to you, do not let anybody say you cannot be consistent. Can you remember that? You cannot be. After a while, you're born out. I said it's not true. But there's such a Christian experience where you can consistently be consistent. And so the Christian experience, the Christian life, is a life of the Spirit. It's not a life in the flesh. It's a life of the Spirit. Which means that it is a life that is, as it were for this purpose, let me say this, governed by spiritual principles. If you look at the epistles, you have the word spirit. Of course, it has evil spirits in there too. But used 383 times to 405 times. Spirit or spirits. And then you have the word Christ used about 600 times or thereabout. Which shows you that whenever you hear about Jesus or Christ, there is a large content of what he's been discussed that he's spiritual in nature. So the life of the believer, the Christian experience, is spiritual. Paul says it like this in Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Then he describes it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made them free from the law of sin and death. Then he describes what the law couldn't do. You could go all through that in verse 8. He now says, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Then he says in verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Then he has not the Spirit of Christ. Is none of his. Now, by saying the Spirit of Christ, it's not that there is the Spirit of Christ and there is the head of Christ or the flesh of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is Christ. That is, when we refer to Christ today, we're referring to the Spirit of Christ. It says, if Christ be in you, the very next verse, the body, he says, is dead to sin or dead of sin, and it says the Spirit is life. Because of righteousness. Meet the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead. He says, dwells in you. He says, he that raised him from the dead will quicken your own mortal bodies by his spirit that lives or dwells in you. So therefore, brethren, you are debtors. Not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you through the live after the flesh, then you will die. But if you through the spirit modify the deeds of the body, look at it again, through the spirit, you modify the deeds of the body, he says you shall live, talking about redemption. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, he says they are the sons of God. Look at that. As many that are led, taken from the flesh, taken from law, from the law. They are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again, fear, verse 15, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. Then he says in 16, the spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So he shows you that it's a complete cycle of the spirit. You cannot refer to the Christian life or its experiences outside the spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, Paul says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, he says, has blessed us with all blessings of the Spirit, or spiritual blessings, in the heavenly, in Christ. Because by the time you read 14 and 15, it shows you how he has sealed us with his Spirit. So, the blessedness, the facts of the faith are woven around spiritual realities. If you want to know where a man is from today, you check his spirit. Who is his father? Who is our father? Who is our mom? Who is our who is his mom? And then you say they are from Igbomina, and then that's where he came from. So you say it's from Igbomina. Sometimes when you want to check a person's behavioral attitude, you look at the parents and look at the DNA, the heredity, and so on and so forth. You look at those kind of things. The very same way, if you are looking at the Christian experience, you relate primarily with the Spirit. You don't start to relate. So we don't have a Yoruba Christian whose Yoruba, that is a tribe, is the dominant issue, or Igbo, or Igbo, or Hausa, or Nupeti, Ijo, French, Spaniard, American. No. Rather, you have a Christian who is Yoruba. A Christian who is Hausa. The first thing is that he is a Christian. He's born. Some are fighting over the term Christian. You see, the word Christian was not given by God, it's given by man, that we are not Christian, we are Christ. Sometimes when you are jobless, you start to wallow in self-delusion. Okay, you are Christ. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you. Are you happy? Don't get yourself into also mundane issues. That's mundane. So the Christian life is just like that. It's spiritual in nature. That's why when Paul says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelief, of unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. In fact, somebody told me something, a Christian, and he said this to me. He said, does that not look like Paul is teaching segregation? I said, what do you mean? He said, because why would he say you should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers? He said, because there should be love. You know these latest believers? There should be love. I said, true. I said, when you were growing up, did your parents warn you of not walking with bad gang in school? He said, yes. Was it hate speech? He said, no. I said, so, if your child goes to school, you say, son, don't discriminate. Drug dealers, drug peddlers, science students, make sure you are very close to them. Imbibe their thinking pattern. I can't say that. I said, you see you. So that is what our father is telling us to. Be not unequal yoke together with unbelievers. Simple. For what communion at light with darkness? What fellowship at righteousness with unrighteousness? He says, what concord Christ with Belial? What part of he that believes with an infidel? Very clear. So I know, I will know a temple of idol by the Spirit. Not by dressing. By the Spirit. Spiritual realities. Our reality is in the Spirit. Same way, the reality of that fellow is in the Spirit. In John 14:16, as Jesus, just the last sermon before he died and ascended, he said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it knoweth him not, it seeth him not. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, then he says, shall be in you. He uses a very interesting terminology, allos parakletos. Same person, same place, same help, same dwelling. Why would he use the word same? Because in verse 10 and 11, he says, it is the Father that dwells in me. It is that dwelling he calls the Paracletus. Same. The same way the Father is dwelling in me, he will dwell in you forever. And he now re-emphasized it in verse 20. That day you will know I am in my Father, and I am in you, and you are in me. Use that same word, John 14:26. John 15:26. Same comforter. Same dwelling. So it says, God in us. The reality of the Christian today is God in. Thank God for redemption. It's the reality of Christianity. Thank God for forgiveness of sins. Reality of Christianity. Ephesians 1:7. Colossians 3:13. Colossians 1:14. Realities of forgiveness. Propitiation of sins. 1 John 2:1 and 2. 1 John 4:9 and 10. 1 John 2:12, the reality of forgiveness of sins. Peter even says that the man has forgotten that he had been purged of his own sins. 2 Peter 1. He says all that. Thank God for sanctification. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Washed, sanctified, justified. Thank God for the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17. Romans 5:1. But you see, the fact of facts, the very fact of all the facts, is that God is in us. That is the fact of every fact. That is, this is the reality of Christianity. God in us. We are not adherents of some tenets. We are not just followers of some credos and tenets. Primarily, before what we do is who we are. God
is in us.
Hallelujah. That is the first fact, the fundamental fact of Christianity. It's called the hope of the Old Testament saints. The substance of things they hoped for, the evidence of things they did not see, Hebrews 11:1. They, without us, will not be made perfect, Hebrews 11:40. The promise of the Spirit, Galatians 3:14. God in us, Christianity. Fundamental fact of Christianity. In John 3:3, Jesus puts it like this: except a man be born again, geno anothe, that is, this birth is different from regular human birth outside the flesh. He cannot see the kingdom. In verse 5, he says, except a man be born of water, which refers to the Spirit. That is, then a whole new matos. He cannot enter. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Verse 6. Born of the flesh. Genao sax or genao pneumatos. He said, mother not thyself, you must be born again. Verse 7. So when we say, I'm born again, it's not I have changed my dressing. I now go to church. I'm now prayer. No. Those will happen, no doubt. I now faithfully do devotion. No. The fact of all facts is that I'm born of God, I'm born of the Spirit, and God lives in me. Don't get to the point where what I just said is knowledge you transmit, not information you dwell upon. When it comes, knowledge you just share to others, because you can get to a point that all you are doing is display the effulgence of insight. But it's not exactly what you build your life upon. God is in me. Hallelujah. That is the reality of Christianity. Knowing that, you have different terms that's used in scripture. Mark 16:15. He that believes is baptized, he saved. Matthew 28:18. Making disciples, Matthew 2:0, which refers to training men with the doctrine, teaching them the didasco in verse 20. Great. But notice the thing, to observe the things I have done or have accomplished, lo, I am with you. Key. Luke 24:47. He calls it repentance, metanoia, to change your mindset. Mission of sins. John 20:31. That believing you may have life through his name. Terms that refer to what happened when you believe the gospel. But you see, what explains it in the most clearest terms is God is in you. You are born of God. That's it. Let's look away from Paul briefly, because if we stay on Paul, I might be grossly accused of abandoning Christ for a mere apostle. Somebody told me that. So you abandon Christ for a mere apostle. I listen to you. You hardly quoted Jesus, but Paul. I said you're a bad learner, because that's all you saw. And I said, every time Paul wrote, did you not hear Christ in what he was saying? But because when your mind is blocked, it is blocked. Dan Ogio, open up. 1 John 3:24. Hereby we know he abides in us by the Spirit which he had given us. And so verse 4, chapter 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1, 2. Peter says, by the sanctification of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. So in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, you are a holy priest, offer of spiritual sacrifices, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offer of spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual. In James 4, 5, James says, the Spirit that dwelleth in us, the Spirit that dwelleth in us, Hebrews 12, 22, you are come to Zion, the city of the living God, the number company of angels. Then he says in 23, the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are in heaven, the judge of all, God the judge of all, and the Spirit of the just men, referring to those Old Testament saints, perfected at last. The Spirit of the just, the realities there, the reality of the persons there, are spiritual realities. James, about Jude 19, Jude says, that's the last one before Revelation, not having the Spirit, that's how he describes your saints. Not having the Spirit, or having not the Spirit, sensual. Said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul's revelation is predicated upon this reality. Born of the Spirit, by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2. 9, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him, or planned for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He says, for what things knoweth a man but the Spirit of the man that lives in him? So the things of God knows no man. Then he says in verse 12, he says, you have received not the Spirit that is of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Spirit. The Spirit. No wonder he will now write to the Corinthian church again, chapter 3, verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak to you as men born of the Spirit. It was spiritual. I've called them spiritual earlier in verse 16 or 15. He says, the spiritual man judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Then he says, it's so sad that when I'm writing you, talking to you, when I'm counseling you, when I'm speaking with you, and that can happen to friendships, that your friendship now declines to the point that you don't now talk to yourselves as men born of the Spirit. So you only relate as born again in the service when you are off. You can't even tell your wife or your husband. Pray about it. Follow your heart. Walk in love. It becomes cliches you use in church, but not in everyday living. The moment the guy becomes your business partner, you throw that to the back room. Even though you are in the same church, you hear God's word. The moment somebody, that's church, that's for evangelism. This is our life. Paul says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. When last did you and your friend just you had a funny news among yourself? Someone said, and you both held hands, prayed in the Holy Ghost, and began to rejoice. Not in the Holy Ghost meeting, but just one on one. Or you just walked up and said, sister. Okay, if you are very close, you never say sister. I say Janet, or what's my popular sister? Mokwe. I've stopped using Mokwe for years now. Mokwe is back.
So he says, Sister Mope, I sense in my spirit that you pray a bit more about that issue. I mean, that's Christianity. But you got now discussed things in the social media. And that's what you, that has now dominated your relationship. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto natural men. No! Our origin is too spiritual to become a past event in our life. Can I have an amen? I couldn't speak. We are born of the Spirit. Paul will write to the church. He says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30. Wherewith you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Spirit of God. You are sealed with the Spirit of God. Sealed. Sealed. So the man who is born again needs to realize that is Christianity. What happened to you the day you got saved? 14th December 1914 or 16th April 2008. Whichever day you heard the gospel and believed was that you were born into a spiritual reality. That fact must not depart from your mind. When you say Christian life, that's what they're talking about. Born by the Spirit. When you say, I want to pray, I want to do this, I want to do that, I should do that, you are referring to a spiritual reality about you. I shared with a friend who said something to me a few hours ago. He said, well, I was in one meeting. We've done these things with the best of them. We're talking about rejoicing. We see all that. Rejoicing, praying the Holy Ghost. Say, we've done it with the best of them. We've done this. Say, but now, I mean, I'm just settling down to some reality. And I asked him a question. I said, of everything you are doing in your life, what is exclusive to Christianity? He began to stammer with grace. Tell me what is exclusive to Christianity. It can't be the apps you are developing. In fact, if you look to your right, to your left, both the tip on the right and left hand, you will probably see atheists. What is exclusive? I said, you know what is exclusive to Christianity? Those things you said you have done with the best. They have not told anyone is in a church, as it were. Because when you say church today, there's a spiritual reality and there's a CAC registration certificate. What some do is nothing more than disguised church. They are not a church. That's a fact. That's not a church. Just CAC and what is on the billboard. That's it. That's how you see. So, I said, all the years you have been here, they have not brought you to this consciousness. He said, we should talk about it later. I said, you should have joined this Muslim fast. See, that's why I'm just saying, no, I didn't abuse you. I didn't abuse you. Seriously, I'm just talking. You know? When you receive the gospel, born again. What you call that born again is a spiritual experience. A spiritual reality. And Paul says, as you have, Colossians 2:5, received the Lord Jesus, 2:6, so walk in Him. As you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, gentleness, peace, patience, meekness, faithfulness, long-suffering. Against such, there is no law. If you are Christ, you are, those who are Christ, pardon me, have crucified the flesh, the lust, and the affections thereof. If you, therefore, live in the Spirit, let us, therefore, walk in the Spirit. Two words he uses, the word peripetao, which means to conduct yourself in a pattern, and the word stoichio, that means a principle. One is multiple, one is continuous, one is like one step. That means there's just one step called the Christian life, it is in the Spirit. One step called the Christian life, it is in the Spirit. In the Spirit. By the Spirit. So in the Spirit, by the Spirit. That is the Christian life. Nothing to disguise. A guy can be growing fat, plumpy, finer, handsome, and he begins to change the color of his beard or the context or the, what else can I use? The complexion of his beard. Every Sunday, and the sister begins to design her hair, and she's looking so taken away. The Mr. Big Style. Looking very pretty. Now, when you see her, you almost say Bathsheba. Something close to that. A brother is like that. I say, you have the feeling that this brother is okay. Then you see another brother looking almost famished. You know how that story? We are the world. We don't know that story. We are the children. And you say, see a brother doing well in the Lord. You are not fine. How does that translate to a Christian life? That has nothing to do with his or her Christian life at all. You are looking at the wrong indicators. It's like a dog wants to check a patient whether he's okay or not. Then he says, smile, let me see. The guy says, yeah, you're okay, go. The doctor, you need to withdraw the suggestion of the doctor from inception. I mean, crutch. Withdraw it from the root. Because there's a problem in the background. That cannot be the health of someone. Christian well-being has nothing to do with physical well-being. At all. Physical well-being is not against Christian well-being. Don't get it wrong. But one should not be said as the other. Walk. Galatians 5:1. Ephesians 5:1. Be ye followers of God as their children. Then he says, walk in love. Why did he say walk in love? Because he had mentioned it earlier. You are put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 2:10, you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus to good works. God had ordained beforehand that you should walk in them. So if he tells you you are sealed by the Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1:15, if he says you that you have the Holy Ghost of God, Ephesians 4:30, then that means walking in love is walking in the Spirit of God. It's not the same thing as let there be love shared among us. That they say in Rotary Club, let us love one another. I tell somebody, I say, look, this love you are preaching on Facebook is not the love of God. The love you are preaching is the love that anybody can preach without knowing the love of God. The love of God has a definite expression. Don't mix it up. There is no religion in the world that does not preach love is what loves. So don't mix issues up. This one is in the Spirit of God. Say we should walk. Hebrews 12:2. Saying that we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race. I've been said, we lay aside every weight and let us get us. Let us run the race that is set before us. Imagine you say, let's run the race that's set before us. Then you leave the auditorium and begin to run home. That means you need much more than membership class. The run is spiritual. Let's run the race. It's a spiritual reality. So look at Galatians 3:1. You are not permitted to change the course of your life. You are not. Because the course of our life or lives is that we are born of the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Many times you have to insert other nations in that place for it to become quickly relevant. Oh, foolish Nigerians. Oh, foolish Americans. Oh, foolish English. Oh, foolish Africans. He says, who has bewitched you? The word foolish is the word anostos. It means you are not thinking something through. You are not applying your mind. Don't forget, you repented at salvation. Your mind was now focused on Christ. He says, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? The word baskaino in the Greek, B-A-S-K-A-I-N-O. It means to be caught in awe. Somebody held you spellbound. The word bewitched is for someone to captivate you. You are captivated. You are lured. It makes sense. Something like that. It makes sense. Look at all those people that preach legalism. What they are saying makes sense. How can you be born again by faith? And then you don't have something to guard it so that you will not have spiritual accident. It makes sense. It makes sense to say, now that you are born again, God wants to show His glory through you by the kinds of money you will have. It's very sensible. Logical. Captivating. Paul calls it excellency of speech and of wisdom. Hypagoge. That is to say something that is above everybody. The guy spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. One of the reasons why I like Wolejo Yika was that they told me from my form one, because there was a book we're supposed to read in form one, they said his books are always too high. I said, I'm going for it. And I nominated myself to go and interview the man. Let me see what he's going to say. And the man speaks very highly. So about the matter, when you read his books, you will have to meditate day and night and observe to look with him. What exactly is he saying? You get it? But we can't pass that for the faith. Where you are awed. I did an exegesis for you yesterday evening. How many of you were around? I remember I said in New York on Tuesday or Monday. Is it Monday now? Tuesday. And one guy said, sir, what you said, it actually makes sense. I said, look at you. Insight into prosperity. Prosperity. I didn't say prosperity. I said prosperity. Because prosperity is prospective of people's money. You lost that. It looks nice. Who has bewitched that you should not obey the truth? He says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified amongst you the word that is, it was written in scripture. That's what prographo. That Jesus was evidently set forth and crucified. Same truth. This only will I learn of you. Verse 2. It says, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. He calls salvation receiving the Spirit. He mentioned that it was written, what I call the written word. Then he says you will receive the Spirit. I will call it the Word and the Spirit. Why? Because the Word was given by the Spirit. And inside what the Spirit gave as the Word is the Spirit. So when we say the Word and the Spirit, really, we are just using synonyms of the same truth. The Spirit is in the Word. The Word was given by the Spirit. So you can't say, I'm a Word man, but not a Spirit man. You say, which Word? I'm a Spirit man, I'm not a Word man. That one is worse. The Word was given by the Spirit. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. Profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter 1:21. The prophecy came not the old time by the will of men, but holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. O fool, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Luke 24:25-26. Ought not Christ to do these things and to enter into his glory? So when we say the Word, that is what the Spirit says. When we say the Spirit, that's what the Word offers. The Spirit said to us to receive the Spirit. So I say, the Word and the Spirit, they are not replaceable terminologies as it were. It's just an explanation that we have to say it for distinguishing, not separation. Who's following what I'm saying tonight? Let me see your hand. Or by the hearing of faith. So he calls salvation receiving the Spirit. Look at the next time. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The word begun in the Spirit is the word enarchomai. E-N-A-R-C-H-A-M-A-I. M-A-I. The same word in Philippians 1:6. He that begun the good work in. Having begun in the Spirit. It means to start inside. Are you now made perfect in the flesh? The word perfect there is the word epitelio. E-P-I-T-E-L-E-O. Is used for accomplishment, to perform, or to mature. In Philippians 1:6, is used for God's word. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began the good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ. Will perform it. Will mature you. Will demonstrate it. For God is at work in you, Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. He uses the same word for Christ. Hebrews 8:5. He was perfected, talking about Jesus. But in Romans 15:28, it talks about a performance to bring a journey to a conclusion. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. The word perfecting there is epitelio. To perform something, to practice it in maturity. 2 Corinthians 8:6 and 8:11. One of them, Paul was talking about how Titus will come to perfect the same things in you, the same grace, to make it practicable among you. Philippians 1:6, I mentioned that. Hebrews 9:6, the law. And 1 Peter 5:9, Christian maturity. So that means a journey began in the Spirit. And for it to continue as the same journey, it has to be by the Spirit.
You cannot resort to the flesh. Like I always tell you, the way you grow is the way you grow. You don't outgrow the basics. Have been begun in the spirit. How are you changing the course? Why are you changing the course? It's a fact. One of the most difficult things I've seen believers face is staying on track. Remember saying to some of your pastors, all of them I believe, who are maybe the second or third or fourth generation, or even more of ministers from this ministry. They had a group like that, white group. They even had an headquarters like a Sanderine temple in their school. What HQ? Where all sorts of non-apostolic and apostolic deeds were done in that time. And I said to them, don't be shocked that many screaming today will no longer do it tomorrow. Because it's a journey. It's not a sprint race. There's much along the way, much twists and turns, so that you will be tempted to change the course. In fact, the person who brought everybody from that particular generation is no longer here. Fact. Not just that. The person who pointed us to that campus, we had the first meeting, is no longer here. Not in Christianity. All men are born again. I'm not saying it's no longer in Christ. I just say it's no longer here. You can now give it your own exegesis, what here is. Because some people can now come to that corner and say, what I perceive is saying, the moment a man leaves this church, he will never amount to anything good in his life. You will have what you say. Because I didn't say so. I only gave you a historical fact. History does not lie. I just told you what happened. Don't be mischievous. Some will say, oh, I learned that you don't marry outside this church. If you do, you will not make it in life. You will have what you say. Because we never said so. Not at any time. Was it a teaching, a joke, an expression, a warning, or a forewarning? It's only that when you have evil on your heart, you begin to imagine somebody said what he never imagined. I never said so. Nobody ever said so. I've said it for years. Marry who you want, how you want, where you want, and what you want. That's key. What? It's your choice. There is a journey. Journey that begins in the spirit cannot continue in the flesh. It begins by faith. It cannot continue by any other means but faith. If it started by grace, it continues by grace. Are you still there? So if this journey is by the word and the spirit, if it began by the gospel,
spoken by the Spirit and receiving the Spirit, that is how the journey will continue. At no point would you need your culture, because your culture is not in this journey. At no point would you need parental background influence, because it's not part of this journey. At no point would you need what is happening in Nigeria, America, Asia. No, it is not part of this journey. At no point would you need what did not start the journey within the journey. Let that dawn on you clearly. Having begun in the Spirit, you now made perfect by the flesh. Humanity thrives in innovation. I'll never forget an illustration, a dear friend of mine, Reverend Sandra Barbara. She said it in 1997, I think, or 6, that cars change with time. Phones, devices, they change this model, that model. In fact, I remember when I bought a Passat 407, we're one of the first set of people that bought it. And we bought the car. Everywhere it went, men were looking it. Not looking at it, looking it. Everywhere. In fact, somebody saw that car and said, this is it. Talking about the gospel. The car a few months ago now became something I could not sit inside. That's how life is. Innovation, renovation. So if your life is like that, you will never be consistent in anything. Oh, what's raining now? There was a time that what was raining, if you want to make money, is call center. Many of you probably didn't know when GSM first entered. I got a GSM phone, talk about. And after making my calls, I put it back in the carton. Too bad! I put it back in the carton. Talk about that blue black one. That today, you must not even use it for an intercom in a children's nursery school. Motorsport. A dear friend now, we now got 3310. So say I have 3330. And put something gold on it like this. As though the voice call will be different from your own voice call. I was carrying all over the place. So people were making, they were big, then people bought those small phones. What do you call it now? A package. 30,000. 30K. You bought it, you look like class. A few years before, my father was using 090. And when he brings it out in front of our house, 090. You don't know 090. See? In the 80s and 90s, 090. And he's making calls. I will now be proud. I'm not the one making the call. Also, in those days, they go and check your family name in telephone directory. It's not there. You are finished. Your family name is not on that yellow telephone direction. You don't even have 01-818-644. Your name is not there at all. You have to go to a neighbor's house to receive the call. And they'll give you the time. It's going to call back 4 p.m. Clown, clown! You learn also how to tap. When they use padlock to shut that phone, then you're not playing. That is very, very fast. What is it? Oh, what is it? Oh, 01 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. Duh! If you miss the number, you're done. You tap. My dad got the phone bills one day, say, ah! Yeah? Of course, United won't have who made the call. Until that changed the thing to, I think, Ennis. Ennis will write the numbers.
Who called? Hey!
All the people calling for parole. You don't know that you're calling the parole is somewhere else. You're calling. don't worry. The guy says, no, but is it not burning? He said, no, it's not a problem. We'll take care of it. Till your father sees the beer.
Change!
How can you know, have an office, I want to visit with you, and I'll see that box. I'll run out. Because it's not possible. Let me make a call. I'll say, I only came to the evangelism.
Times have changed. But the believer must not change.
Times will keep changing. There's nothing you can do about that.
Humanity thrives on innovation, renovation.
Yet Paul writes to you, you began in the Spirit, you will continue in the Spirit. As you have received the Lord Jesus, even so, walk in Him. 2 Timothy 3, Paul, in verse 14, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned it. You have to learn to be stable. God's word and God's spirit are the stability of the times. I didn't mean that as a Christian to show that you are stable. You keep using talk about. That's not what I said. I just showed you how the world is. The world is always thinking, what can I do? What is it? I mean, a few years ago, if you want to marry a woman, you go and meet the parents. The parents will meet the parents. After a while, you talk to the girl directly. After a while, even in Christendom, you pray. I mean, I remember earlier on, you go to marriage committee, MC. Marriage committee will now say, you must not go together. You must not want to, if my committee discovers that both of you have discussed about it, that's the end. God has ruled it out forever. So the brother will go, my committee, and say, I've been praying, the Lord laid on my heart, our sister Mukwe. And then they'll say, okay. They will now call her independently and tell her to go and pray. They won't mention your name. What is the Lord telling you? So spirit has to be one. After a while, it became a problem. They now started mentioning the name. So things started changing. After a while, it was now, well, you don't have to go through my committee. Just say something and pray about it. And tell the sister. And all that. And the sister says, okay, let me pray about it. Sometimes you see some sisters, then it takes them 2 years to say yes. 3 letters. One for each year. Y E S. But now, social media era, just get a phone and friends and cake. Then go spend all your savings, sell your phone, sell your car, and buy a ring. And then say, she said, What's going on? I'm sure a time is coming when she was doing what's going on. There will be a machine that just put the ring in her hand. Boom! Say yes! Things will keep changing. There's nothing you can do about that.
Humanity, and you see, the change in humanity shows the craving in their heart for God. That change is a void. Because you know, the reason why you should keep changing levels is because you have not gotten there. But when we believe the gospel, we arrive there.
So that void will be there.
Learn to be stable. Paul now wants Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Then he says, for the time will come. Hear me very well. This happens all the time. Paul is not prophesying, no. The time will come. Because we are all susceptible to the flesh. But I hate you to say something. That because we still carry this physical body and we mingle with the world, no matter how full you are in the spirit, this is how we used to put it, that you would dissipate energy. You dissipate energy here and there, work pressure, life pressure, everything. You know, so the time will come when, because of that, because you cannot be separate from the world you live in, where men will no longer endure. Look at what we use, endure sound doctrine. That means that there's an endurance in this walk. How many of you did the endurance track? NYSC. You just keep going till the very end. Endurance. That is, it now becomes something you have to just keep going. Endurance will mean, it's not that you are deriving any physical pleasure, but you are getting at it. So they will no longer endure sound doctrine. Initially, you will like the doctrine. Woo! Glory! Christ has done it all. After a while, that statement becomes something you are enduring. Because you keep hearing the same thing again and again. And you feel, is there not more than this? You no longer endure sound doctrine. But he says, after their own loss, as a loss, you heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. The word itching ears means fanciful ear. I'm not going to use a cutting board. You know that feeling? Medical doctor warned us. I got somebody now has a machine. Just put it like this, and it will just say, and it just be feeling good. You know? Itching ears. You don't want to hear something nice. You know all these musical notes, these lyrics. Doesn't make any sense. But it just goes, that is what they thrive upon. It just drops on words, you want to hear it. It doesn't make any. You say it normally, but somebody just makes it tickle your fancy. And you know, you begin to, you know, your ears, so before you know it, that way the world acts, you start wanting the faith to be like that too. You want to go to church and hear something. When we're younger as Christians, what we used to say after the service is, I was convicted. In fact, a statement then, if you preach, is, I was broken. After a while, when we preach breaking people, there was nothing to break again. But now it's, wow, I enjoyed myself. Because there's nothing to endure. I enjoyed myself. Yeah, you just pep the thing up for you. Nice jokes, nice speech, lovely things that appeal and are relevant to your present circumstance. Tickle your fancies. Tickle your fancies. He said, look, I can't stay in a church where they are not teaching me principles of how to run my home or my business. I said, but it's not in the word. He said, is it everything in the word that the pastor was always teaching? I just said, it's okay. You know, at that point, if you proceed further, you are looking for fights. He had told you what's in his mind. He said, no. Keeping up teachers after their own laws. And this makes sense. Yeah. So they will turn away from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Let's look at the word lost. The word lost is desires. Some of them can be legitimate, whether you like it or not. You can make every boast in your first year. Christ alone. Christ alone. You can say,
Christ alone. I'm focused on Jesus alone. On the level. By the time you enter the fourth year, final year, and then they are doing final year prayer, and people have different people they are going to marry. At that point, you're not even moved. The NYC. At that point, if you are not hearing things, check it, get a doctor. Both mental and physical. Then all this, it doesn't matter. I'm staying for the gospel. You now see people. Your first year after school, brand new car. Some will get a job in Paris. You will ignore the fact that it's one out of 1,000. That's the reality. Another one will now be, I know, we're in a social media era where pictures will make you go sad, mad, or bad. A guy told me he saw the picture of a church. Abuja is in your area. Mechanic bus stop. On the way to Ijameke. Areas that the governor goes there only for political campaign. And that's what you are doing, minister. He said he saw those pictures. And he said, I'm more than this. No, it's Abuja that is more than mechanic bus stop. It's not you that is an issue. At that point, he said he began to feel dissatisfied. It's not in your spirit. There's nobody that will drive the lobby and see G-Wagon and not be dissatisfied in the spirit. It's just normal. How can you have third class lower? Somebody has first class and you say you are not moved. Ah. You are not moved. You have to be moved. It's just normal to say, I can also accomplish it. It's just in man to crave for it. And it is not illegitimate yet. So all this, I remember when we did a seminar on marriage. I said, we'll teach on marriage 2004 or 55. Some people said, no, sir, we need to hear the word. We don't want to hear. I said, let me share the word. They said, no, sir. Christ alone. We need one much. They were the ones that got into relationship. Say, no, sir. Let's just teach faith, prayer, Holy Ghost. Said no. Some say we are for these things. Rain, shine, everything. We are, no matter what it is, I'm for the world. A friend of mine years ago, after he had lied that he saw Jesus, where he gave him three keys to open heaven, which include tithes. And we came upon his soul. In those days, when we come upon you, you will never recover. We came, it was in our hands, we could upon his soul, 1996. Finished him, and I was the lead coming upon him. He ran to the bathroom, and he was screaming, on the world! I'm on the world! I'm on the world! He never did. So, because there's always the loss, legitimate. Legitimate desires for company, marriage, sexual, legitimate desire. It's God that gives sexual desire. It's not sin nature. Legitimate to want to have possession. See, I don't want to have anything in life. Hey! Take him to the expressway. This is not for the world anymore. I don't want to have. I remember I was with Pastor Paula White. And then she said to me, Pastor Chris, I enjoy your ministry. She said, oh, you, I believe You want to go around the world and preach? I said, no. He said, no, I'm saying to preach the gospel all over the world. I said, I heard you. No. That's what he asked. I travel around the world, but they say to preach. She was shocked. Because you have to know God's plan. What's God's plan? God's plan is not what you like that God said, that's wonderful. I never thought like that before. You are such a deep thinker, says the Lord. Legitimate. A change of job, yes. When you are with a job, and you are collecting 60K before tax. And they collect the tax. And you are coming to church. You almost see your pastor as a tax master. You have to give. You have to give pledge. How many governments? Then you see someone. No church. No ministry. No Christian life. Christ is in his past. It's a finished work. He's driving a brand new car, official car, with a driver. As there, you don't need to ask for the salary. It can't be 60K. And then he says, I just came from a professional trip in Washington, D.C. I flew business class. Fire! You see, if those things don't move you at all, even our Lord was tempted at all points. Our Lord and Savior. And they don't believe it. I didn't even hear it. You are actually deceiving yourself. You heard it all. And the guy says, you know, I just got a raise. My house allowance is about 1 million per month. 1 million per month. Your 2 years will move. 1 million per month. Wow, what they pay you? You just say, I'm unemployed. You finish your old boys' association. You now enter church. They die my life. They live all alone. The Holy Ghost meeting. And then the Holy Ghost will flow with you. And the gifts of Jesus, amen. I heard it in Medilac. But other person said, the money will come. Ah! I see a change of your state of sickness. For you move from that level. That is not your level, says the Lord. For I see you. If you not teach us after you. That means you want someone to tell you what you desire, which we all like. Someone said, I don't care how I get to a place. Let me just fly plane. 2 days ago, I told them, there's a difference, though. It's been a while I flew first class. I flew one. Was it last year? Now I'm going to travel to London. I didn't buy the ticket. She went forward. You stayed. I saw it. I now remember those days. You know? It's a difference, though. If you are coming in from into economy, they will make you pass through the promised land. I usually you pass through premium economy, you get your own place, and everybody says, please move. That's the first sign and symbol where you are economy. And first class is usually upstairs. Eye cannot see it, ear cannot hear it. Can't hear the other man. Those things will move you in your mind. And they are not illegitimate. It's not the day you desire a first class ticket, you lose your salvation. Don't say the Lord. No. Legitimate. Legitimate. Whether it is sexual, financial, clothes. So I say, I don't even believe in new clothes. Yeah? When people talk like that, just know that they are about to bath. Not bath, they're going to bath flip. Because they are lying. I don't believe in. No, I just wear anything. I don't believe in fashion. Bad dressing is fashion itself.
You see, clothes.
And you know, because I preside over a non-spiritual body in my alumni association, I see people compete. I see it. Somebody will bring a car this week for one of our programs. The other one says, ah, another one will bring another car. Yeah. And naturally, look, don't deceive yourself. People gravitate towards cars. As you see the car, please. Good day, sir. It's normal. It's just normal. Because you see the cars. Some people stop coming for the meeting. Say, ah, these people just intimidate us. Classmates. You think the prayer point of that guy will not be Lord? Whoever is hiding my glory. Particularly if those people, they used to repeat in secondary school. Every evening glory. All my disguised success. Anybody born of a woman. Holding for the keys to my destiny. Anybody who has decided that I will not get there. Lord, give me my Goshen. You know, sometimes, even as a word man, when you hear those prayers, you look at your heart. Am I sure I don't need to pray this prayer? I remember a friend of mine. He said he was talking to his mother-in-law to be about all these deliverance things. He did exegesis, long explaining the word to her, lutro, lutrosis, apolutrosis, romai. He was explaining affairs, affirming, explaining critics. You must say, hey, that your job serves, you know? He said, ah, I'm still at it. He said, don't you think you need deliverance? With all this, your doctrine, you don't have a job. Eating up teachers after their loss. Fashion clothes. Yet, Christianity is not determined by my desires. The moment I can separate my desires from my faith, spiritual growth just started. So that whether those desires happen or not, it has no bearing on my faith. Then I have started growing. When you begin in the Spirit, you continue in that light. Romans 15:4 tells us that things happened before. We're written aforetime, we're written for our learning, that which through comfort and patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now these things happen unto them, for example, that they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. Not fall into, not lose salvation, fall into sin. And it gives us the counsel, things to flee from, things to avoid. Desires. Look at Abraham, a man of faith. This is the reason why many of the great preachers could not fathom what James was writing. He's declared righteous, Genesis 15:6. Called blessed, Genesis 12:3. But his righteousness now became a lifestyle in Genesis 22. when he offered Isaac. Some cannot talk about faith outside finished work, past tense. What about a lifestyle? Abraham had a lifestyle of faith. He continued. That is, before the gospel came, he was wealthy, a man of influence. When the gospel came, he increased in wealth and influence, human endeavor. And yet, we could still say of him, he had faith and he had works. His fame increased, he had exploits. Yet, he was not fruitless, such that today, when we talk about Abraham, we talk about his faith for salvation, his faith for the gospel, and his faith in his lifestyle. Nothing about what he owned, rather what owned him. Look at David, before he was made king. He was a man given to devotion. Well, Saul asked him, how are you going to face Goliath? He said, the Lord had given me victory with the bear and the lion. He had an experience. It's called anointed. And he continued that way. Such that everything about David was not just that he was made king. The Bible says, Paul says that he served God. But he served God. He served his generations only by the will of God. Acts 13. I think that should be verse 37. Let me check it. Acts 13. He served his generation by the will of God. Verse 36. He continued. In spite of the fact that along the line, he had his own indiscretions. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, which burst the Psalm 51. Yet, that did not deter him. When you see a fellow fall into sin and stops the work of a ministry, it's not that issue. It is actually a private or personal relationship with the world and the spirit that was lacking. Look at that tomorrow. There's restoration. In scripture, there's restoration always in the word. Did he go to the word? Did he stay with the word? That should be the issue. Because if you build your Christian life on people's acclaims and fame, the day you make an error, you are in trouble. But make sure what you are building upon is the word. Are you in church? David continued. Look at the difference in Solomon. The only time we saw Solomon worship God was before the promise was given to him when David was in the temple. After that, he was in business seminars, flying first class, buying jets, not doing ministry anymore. Now he's using that office to acquire wealth. He became an idol worshiper. A man that had 1,000 women. I don't think any human being has been that graciously graced by sin. Because it will increase, loss will increase, and birth loss. Look at Jesus as a boy in Luke 2 before he's anointed or shown to Israel by John the Baptist. In Luke 2, he was found in verse 46 and 47 studying the word. So that Luke 2:52 says that increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. He was known for devotion. Yet, his fame came in Luke 4. His fame came John 2, 10, 11, 12. His fame spread abroad. People knew him. He was on Facebook. He was on social media. He was on Instagram. 1 million followers. And so on and so forth. Yet, look at his lifestyle. Luke 3:21. When he was being baptized, he was praying. He was being baptized, he was praying. In Luke 5:16, after miracle signs and wonders, he withdrew himself to the wilderness. He's praying. In Luke 6:12, the same thing. He went up all night prayer. There's fame, there's glory, enough sisters around you to keep you busy. Enough miracles to do to keep up with the Joneses. Yet he knew how to withdraw from such activities. Luke 9:28. He took Peter, James, and John apart to the mountain to pray. In Luke 22:41. Just about the time he's going to the cross, he's still praying. Which means, hear this, there are some unchangeable practices that never change with the time. Good times, bad times, famous periods, infamous periods, they are formed for you the basis of Christian living. I'm grateful to God for Pastor Shola Oladele who raised us when we were younger. I cannot forget his overemphasis on something. In fact, one of my first sermons in life when I taught somewhere in 91 and majorly 92 was on what he used to say. That the foundation of the building is usually what nobody sees. He would say, ensure your foundation is deep enough. I like how Pastor Tokes used to say this. His own. I'll tell you that in English. There's something that is the foundation of your life. That is, it has nothing to do with whether you're a pastor. That is just your Christian life. It's not a public thing. A private thing about you. Which is known publicly. Because the new Jesus known publicly. That foundation of Christian life. You can get into a competition, a race, LMA, membership class, study group, to be seen as the most studious person in church. Yet, privately, without study group assignments, without LMA, you actually don't study. If there is no sermon to preach, you will not study. If there is no ministry, you will not pray. Then you know that you are building your life on cutting wool. There must be a personal relationship, the message you preach, you are preaching, with the spirit that you minister of. Personal. He prayed. In John 14, he talked about the spirit of God, God in him. John 14:10-11. He always practiced the word and devotion. And he kept his purpose ahead of him. Jesus always practiced the word and devotion. And he kept his purpose ahead of him. If you are going to build to last, you cannot build your Christian life on your own desires. You can't build your Christian life on worldly things that are legitimate. You can't build your Christian life on fame, natural success, and exploits. You can't build your Christian life on things going fine or otherwise. You must build it on things that will never change, no matter what is changing. Prayer. We see all that shortly. The word. Look at Paul. When Ananias went to meet him in Acts 9:16-17, he was praying. Acts 13:2, publicly, he was ministering to the Lord, praying, and verse 3 and 4. Acts 16, when he was taken to jail, himself, verse 25, 26, 27, and Silas, they sang praises to the Lord and prayed, or the other way around, they prayed and sang praises. Consistency. Acts 20, when he was leaving Ephesus, he knelt down, verse 37, 38, and they prayed. Acts 27, Acts 28, he's praying. It has nothing to do with the present situation. Same thing as Peter. So ask yourself, What are the things I can't trade away from youth to adulthood to my old age? Youth, adulthood, old age. Single, married, or when there's no more marriage. That can be anything. No job, there's now a job. Career, retirement. No wealth, there's now wealth. More wealth, or otherwise. Those things can change. But ask yourself, what should never change? It's your choice. If you are going to build to last, you can't build on enjoyment. You can't build on bad times or good times. You can't build on things that can change. You have to ensure that those things are not your foundation. What I want. A good wife, a good husband, good sex, good children, good job, comfortable life. You can't build your Christian life on such variables. Same. People love a ministry. I tell people, it makes no difference whether 30 came to this session or 1,000. Make up your mind. It will have nothing to do with the number of people in the church. I've said it to many younger ministers. We will ensure by the word of God, we de-emphasize that madness of crowd people's heads. So that's nothing to do with what you're doing. You can have crowds come because you are able to hold them spellbound by whatever. You can have low numbers because you are just critical. You are not preaching the gospel, so you have low numbers. So it's of no. The issue is in what you are doing. So ask yourself, what must never change? Matthew 6, Jesus, in the midst of human desires, he said, let your eye be single, that your whole body be full of light. Matthew 6, 22. What was the background? He's talking about desire for things. God and mammon. He knows that we need money. So your heavenly father knows you have need of these things. He knows. But the heavenly father is saying, let your desire be his kingdom. So, let your eye be single, that your whole body be full of light. In season, out of season. 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 3. Your utmost desire must be the same. Single, married, or no more married, or unmarried. No job, job, career, retirement. No wealth. Now there's wealth. There's more wealth. Or whatever. What will never change? Your utmost desire. As Paul will write about the rich. Charge the rich in this world. That they be not high-minded. Never let your pocket dictate how you talk and who you relate with. There's nothing divine about material prosperity. I said that. Don't look like them jump to see. Nothing. Is human driven. And so Paul warned his son Timothy from verse 5 to verse 8. He said, when you see men who see godliness as a means to gain, withdraw. Do you know that it's not difficult? It's not easy to see men who are already telling you, ever since I became a Christian, I changed my car, I changed my house. If you lie about this, you are a big liar. You will want to hear them. How did it happen? You want to hear it. You want to hear what they're... I was listening to someone say, share testimony today before I was coming, and the guy was saying something funny. And you know, because the figure he mentioned, you know, there's some figures when you mention them, I just keep quiet. The boy was talking about prosperity on Facebook. I said, and I called him. How much do you have? How much do you have? He said, you have 50K in any of your accounts altogether. You don't have. I said, you're working spiritual wealth. It's not just wealth, it's wealth. Go and sit down. When this fellow mentioned that amount, this is me. I said, he said, let me what he's saying. I said, no! I switched what I was listening to. But they were first talking word when they got to that point. He said, withdraw yourself.
It's not easy. It's an instruction. As a means to wealth. But you can go to wealth creation seminar organized by Lagos Business School. Don't go and withdraw yourself from that one. But the moment somebody says, I quoted the scripture, the whole is about to affect your desire and your simple devotion. God left the contentment of great gain. That's what he said. He says you withdraw. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says you flee from fornication. Flee. There are things to run from. The knowledge of the word, you know who you are in Christ and who you are not. You also know what you can do in Christ and what you should not do in Christ. Lie not to one another. It's in Christ. Steal no more. Ephesians 4:28, it's in Christ. Flee fornication, it's in Christ. Let him that thinketh is standeth, take it, let him fall. It's in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. It's all in Christ. Look at the relationships. Are your relationships going to be spirit ruled? Ruled by the word? Will you change your standard of relationships because you are now a graduate? Remember when you were on campus, those who were your friends are people that will inspire you to study, to pray, to live godly life on campus. Would you change that principle as time goes on? You are now in America. You have been created in the United Kingdom. You are now in Europe. Or would that change? It's still by the word and the spirit. My relationship must still be so guided. Paul will write to Timothy about men to avoid. Avoid them. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Referring to doctrine. Don't allow somebody into your close circle of friendship whose faith is not in Christ. It will affect you. Whatever you keep around you will get inside you. It's a matter of time. Look at your priorities. What are the things you used to boast about? You used to talk about the work of the Spirit when you were on campus or when you were younger. You used to talk about them. Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What are the things you boast about? Have you started talking big now because you have changed your car where you live? I'm not talking big now because your account is now fatter. Something is wrong. If you watch the things that you put in acclaim, you are actually watching your Christian life. Philippians 3:19. Paul talks about some men and he says, I've told you before, I tell you again in verse 18, even with weeping tears, enemies of the cross of Christ, whose head is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. The moment somebody begins to boast of finances, possession, that person should cease to be your friend. Who mind earthly things. The moment you start to like it unconsciously, check yourself. Deal with it. Look at your device. Your device can devise sin for you. You must not allow your devices, iPad, iPod, to dictate what you watch. Dictate what you watch there. If you always watch movie magic, why would your Christian life not turn into magic? Always watching this, watching that. You're on YouTube. Oh, all you listen to now is secular music. Is it not better you stay away? If you are father, you can't control. Little foxes, they ruin the vine. It doesn't matter, till it becomes the main matter. Watch the tears so they don't grow with the seed and then it becomes a problem. Check it. If you have a friend, your spouse, your friend, and you discover every time you go to Brotune's house, he's watching a movie. Every time you go to Sister Kenny's place, she's listening to secular music. There is going to be a problem soon. There are some things that must be in the low ladder of your priorities. Are you still as passionate as you were in Lasso, in Osu, in Unila, in Unibail, in UNA, those days? You will go out and pray all night. Are you still like that? Jesus did not change his culture with any season in his life. How? What you do all season. When there's wealth, when it is no more. When there's no wealth, when I have much more. When there's no job, when I now have. The gospel must be what tolerates what I do. It's not what I do starts to tolerate the gospel. If I'm going to be able to last, I must check those things. You know, sin happens in our unguarded moments. Times you want to relax. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. At times you just relax. There are times I want to just relax. If you come and tell me about prayer, I don't want to hear it. I just want to relax. But those moments, I must guard my heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. For out of it flows the issues that govern life. Is there anybody in the house tonight? So what do I do to build to last? I've seen that in the Christian walk, it is from the Spirit to the Spirit by the Spirit. From the Word to the Word by the Word. My relationships, my pursuits, all of that by the Word. What should I do? Look at it. I said ministry must be built on your personal walk. If you build the Christian walk on what you do publicly, prayer group, church service, study group, you cannot build to last. Build what you do in church to what you do when you are not in church. What you do amongst men must be built on what you do when men are not there. In Luke 9:62, Jesus said, "No man who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." He's not discussing salvation. In Luke 9, Matthew 10, he just sent his disciples out to go and preach. And he told them, "Look, if I send you on an errand, whatever I face, you will face. If I face temptation, you face temptation. If I face pressure, you will face pressure. If I face persecution, you will face persecution. So he that puts his hand on the floor and looks back is not fit." He mentions, "If you are going to follow me, take up your cross and follow me." We're talking about ministry. Not cause of sickness and disease. No. The cross of you denying yourself. Human acceptance, for example. Comfort. You throw all that away. He said, "To follow me." He's discussing ministry. Look at Luke 9:62. "Always know that there is a cost to serving the Lord. There's a cost to walking with God. Anybody who preaches Christian living without costs to you is lying to you. Anyone who preaches Christian living without a price to pay, this is lying to you. You have heaped up a teacher after you're lost. I like that too. Nobody hates comfort. If you don't hate, if you hate comfort here, yeah, we should look for something for you. Nobody hates comfort. But this just comes with what we believe and what we do. Are you in church? Luke 9. Look at the background. Luke 9. What did he mean by put your hands on the floor and look back? He had sent them out from verse 1 to 3 to go and preach. So he now told them the things they are going to see. In verse 57, it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man, look at 57, look now, I want you to open to there. "Lord, I will follow you where you go." Are you sure that you are not just about the comfort of the church venue, the facility? He says, "Look, foxes have holes." Luke 9:58. "Birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." That is, anywhere we go, are you sure you will follow us? We may be King Francis today, it's fine. But tomorrow, we may hit the bush. Are you going to be there?
Unconditional following. Look at the next verse. He said to another person, follow me. That was the Lord. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Notice what the issue is. He doesn't say, don't bury your father. Suffer me first. Let me do this first. You know, that looks like, first to bury my father. My father. I've lost a father before. I know what it looks like. When I lost my father, the first thing that happened to me, as I saw his dead body, I collapsed. What man? I couldn't fathom he was going to die. I collapsed. And they had to put me on all sorts of things. Is he alive? Is he okay? Is he okay? I stayed privately and I cried. Very painful. But I think the very next day, we had Holy Ghost. Did I want to hold the Holy Ghost? Of course not. But I had no choice. Because Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You don't do that first. It can't be first. If Jesus were to be a pastor today, they would say, he doesn't even know Christ. So when he said, he that puts himself on the plow and looks back, this is what he's talking about. My father. He said, but go and preach the kingdom of God. So, ministry before family. Did Jesus say it? Did Jesus say it? You are quiet. Before family. I didn't say it, he said it. So I have not come to bring peace but war. Is that what he said? A man's enemies will be men of his household. Father will turn against mother. Children against parents. For my sake. He said, look at the next thing. As though it's getting worse. I will follow you. But let me first go and tell my those at home at my house. This was very, I'm sure it was about wife and children. He said, no man that puts his hand on the plow. So those people went away. So out of those that he called, he only got 70 in chapter 10, verse 1. There is a cost, and you must know it. Luke 14, 26. Are we in church? Before you make mouth, we'll do this thing, aging on our side. Don't make mouth. You should build, don't build on excitement. There are things that have happened to you that you've never expected. How many of you can say that about your life? Oh, things have happened to you in life that you never expected. Are you still alive? Everybody. Places you found yourself. Things you didn't expect. What happened? So he said in Luke 14:26, if any man comes to me, and hates not, that's preferred. Not his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. Yea! And even his own life also. He can't be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his cross and comes after me, cannot be my disciple. Which of you, intending to build a tower, sits down first, not, and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. He says, sit down, count the cost. Or you want to go to war, sit down, count the cost. The Christian experience is like building a house. Do you have sufficient commitment to the word and the Holy Ghost to continue? Is it about show, Facebook post, Facebook likes? What if Facebook is gone? What if all your enjoy today is gone? Will you continue? Lest he starts and he cannot finish it. Play for me, I close. So ask yourself, am I building on eternal principles? Prayer, the word, and the spirit. The word and the spirit. The word and the spirit. The word and the spirit.
in season, out of season. It means I will listen to the same message for the rest of my life. I will listen to what the Spirit says for the rest of my life. I will meditate on the same things. Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:18, prophecies have gone before thee, that thou with them may wage a good warfare. The same. The basics. The word. Daily contact with the word. Fellowship with the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit. Daily. Sam. I never outgrow the basics. Following the inward witness. Leadings and perception. I fall ill. I'm now not so sophisticated that I call my doctor. I remember the healing power. Just like I did 20 years ago. 25 years ago. 30 years ago. I want to take a decision. What's in my spirit? Just like I did 30 years ago. I live life the same way. I wake up. Whether I'm in Jamaica. I'm in Spain. I'm in Africa. I'm in Europe. I'm in South America. I do my devotions regularly. Devoted to the word and the spirit. I listen to the same message. I don't get to a point. I'm now comfortable with what was not the word years ago. What does that mean? I'm building to last. I make an unqualified commitment. My finances, I trust in the Lord. Just like Paul. Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatever circumstances to be content. I've learned it. So I trust in the Lord. Money won't dictate how I pray or I don't pray. I am ready to weather the storm. Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is likened to a man who built his house upon the rock. The winds blew. Storms came. He said it did not shake at all. Like we used to say, no shaking. Hallelujah. He said, but the man that hears his words and doesn't do them. The man that builds his life on sand. The winds came, storms came, and great was the fall of it. People don't just backslide, my brother. Check the things that they stopped doing that they used to do. Or the things they started doing. Never used to do. Church, my brother, my sister, my colleagues in the ministry, all pastors and leaders, the way you grow is the way you grow. Ask yourself, will I continue praying like this? Assuming I'm yanked out of my house, there's no house to live again. Or I now live in king's palaces, such that at the snap of my finger, there's food on the table. Which of them would dictate how I pray and how I study? None should. When I make that decision, I look at the future, whether it's green, black, or red, I continue like that. It means I'll finish the house I've started, I'll fight the war I've started, I'll get to the end, and I'll build to last. Are you in church? You're blessed tonight? Stand to your feet in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. I build to last. It's by the word and the spirit. No gimmicks, no common sense, no human listening to this. I build to last. I continue steadfast. I weather the storms. I weather the storms. Pride won't find a place in my heart. Money won't rule it. Sexual desires will not be the dictates. The loss to our family and children will not be the point. Oh, there are many desires that I should have them. But there must not be a conflict. Having more, being famous, even preaching should not have dominion over me. The point, I'm only praying to preach, studying to preach. No. I continue in the basics by
the Word and the Spirit. Pray the Holy Ghost. Pray the Holy Ghost.